Greetings. Thank you all for returning. We extend a warm welcome to all our new listeners here for the first time. I am Pastor John, welcoming our global audience of unchurched, self-study people, as well as those who are part of a church, or anyone looking for greater depths in God's Word. Thank you all for listening. May you all be blessed of God. Last week we learned, many people today disregard others when they think they are correct in their opinion. Many people today think only about what they are losing instead of what they are gaining. However, what one gains is solely dependent on being willing not to place yourself first. That almost seems contradictory, and in some people's mind, may well sound completely contradictory. Nonetheless, it is not. What something is and what it seems to be are two completely different things. Today, if we argue the eating of pork with someone who has decided not to eat it, we are doing something we are not to do, placing an obstacle or a trap before a brother or sister. Worse, we are placing an obstacle or a trap before someone we have not even witnessed to yet who is not saved. That is not a good place to be witnessing from in either case. This confusing issue of clean and unclean meats was taken away by Jesus. How, then, is there still an argument of what is clean and what is unclean meat? Mr. Burkett answers that question when he said that although the apostle pronounces that there is no meat, to find out more, listen to our previous episode titled Exhortation for the Strong Not to Destroy the Weak, Part 1, posted on April 28th. This week, our study is titled, Exhortation for the Strong Not to Destroy the Weak, Part 2. Our scripture reads, So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for building up one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. For although all things are clean, it is wrong to cause anyone to stumble by what you eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith you have, keep to yourself before God. Blessed is the one who does not judge himself by what he approves. But the man who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not do so from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. From Romans chapter 14, verses 19 through 23. Starting at the beginning, verse 19 reads, So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for building up one another. Notice how verse 19 tells us how we can move forward in two ways, in peace and building up one another. Doing anything peaceably is easily understood. However, spiritual peace and building up one another are entirely different. For instance, just what is building up one another? How does one build up another? Keep that in mind as we first look at what things make for spiritual peace. That may seem a bit unnecessary, but what makes for spiritual peace? The natural, everyday peaceability of people is not what we are looking at. It is the spiritual peace that can be spread and built upon among our brothers and sisters. This would then make for a solid peaceability among men and women everywhere. the high purposes and objects of the Christian religion, and not those smaller matters which produce strife. If men aim at the great objects proposed by the Christian religion, they will live in peace. If they seek to promote theft for private ends, to follow their own passions and prejudices, they will be involved in strife and contention. There are great common objects before all Christians in which they can unite, and in the pursuit of which they will cultivate a spirit of peace. Let them all strive for holiness. Let them seek to spread the gospel. Let them engage in circulating the Bible, or in doing good in any way to others, and their smaller matters of difference will sink into comparative unimportance, and they will unite in one grand purpose of saving the world. Christians have more things in which they agree than in which they differ. The points on which they are agreed are of infinite importance. The points on which they differ are commonly some minor matters in which they may, quote, agree to differ, end quote, and still cherish love for all who bear the image of Christ, and things wherewith, etc. That is, those things by which we may render aid to our brethren, the doctrines, exhortations, counsels, and other helps which may benefit them in their Christian life. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Notice how this commentary passage teaches us about spiritual peace. This gives us quite a good teaching of spiritual peace for us to consider. This is not about world peace, family peace, or any other kind of explainable peace we all understand, whether we encourage it or promote it somehow. Yet it does spill into that. It proves if we attend the work on our spiritual peace, it will permeate into other matters where peace is also needed. It starts in the high purposes and objects of the Christian religion, and not those smaller matters which produce strife. How do we reduce and even eliminate the smaller matters that produce strife in our life? If men aim at the great objects proposed by the Christian religion, they will live in peace. Can you see how concentrating on our walk in Christ spills over into the natural things in life like peace? Notice, if you seek to promote theft for private ends, to follow your own passions and prejudices, you will be involved in strife and contention. Said that way, that commentary passage is quite clear to us. We can see this does not build one's spiritual peace, nor does it promote one's own internal peace. If that is true, how do we build our permeating spiritual peace? There are great common objects before all Christians in which they can unite, and in the pursuit of which they will cultivate a spirit of peace. Let them all strive for holiness. Let them seek to spread the gospel. Let them engage in circulating the Bible, or in doing good in any way to others, and their smaller matters of difference will sink into comparative unimportance, and they will unite in one grand purpose of saving the world. Christians have more things in which they agree than in which they differ. The points on which they are agreed are of infinite importance. The points on which they differ are commonly some minor matters in which they may, quote, agree to differ, end quote, and still cherish love for all who bear the image of Christ. Further, there are things by which we may render aid to our brethren, the doctrines, exhortations, counsels, and other helps which may benefit them in their Christian life. Have you ever wondered what someone in a church meant by helps? If you have, here is some definition for helps. Rendering aid to our brothers and sisters, the doctrines, exhortations, counsels, to name a few. As you can see, there is plenty of things we can do in the spiritual walk that will permeate into the natural realm, making all of us better and more at peace within and with each other. That being the whole point thus far. Notice clearly, let us earnestly pursue the things that make for the common peace of all Christians and the things by which we may further each other's edification and salvation. Learn hence that in case of any emergent differences among Christians, it ought to be the joint care and endeavor of all and everyone to pursue the things which make for peace, and that this peace be such as will consist with and greatly help forward the good of the church. Let us follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. The opening statement is huge. Again, let us earnestly pursue the things that make for common peace of all Christians and the things by which we may further each other's edification and salvation. Do any of us know anything about furthering each other's edification and salvation? How do you edify someone? How do you further someone's salvation? If someone is saved, what is there to further? To get these questions answered, we will start by looking at a commentary passage where the writer uses, quote, I, end quote, in reference to himself. Keep that in mind. You're exhorted to pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. You must work at this. It will not happen automatically. Peace and the building up of one another are more important than food. Physical needs aren't wrong. God wants to supply those needs, but they are subject to His work. They should not cause you to do things that make your brother stumble. For example, I know a brother from an African country. In that country, eating eggs is connected with idolatry. He is not free yet from this thought in connection with eggs. Now, suppose I usually eat an egg every day. Nothing wrong with that. But if this brother is having breakfast with me and I offer him an egg, this could cause him to fall. Or I might try to convince him there's nothing wrong in eating an egg. But if I urge him to do so, this could bring him into a serious problem with his conscience. If I am aware of this, it would be far better not to eat an egg at that moment. This may be applied in all kinds of ways. From King Comments Commentary on the Whole Bible. This should remind us of our examining not eating meat. Remember? I hope you do. Also, the author here is talking about himself when he said, "For if I am aware of this, it would be far better not to eat an egg at that moment." Now, notice how this commentary passage opened. "You're exhorted to pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. You must work at this. It will not happen automatically. Peace and the building up of one another are more important than food. Physical needs aren't wrong. God wants to supply those needs, but they are subject to His work. They should not cause you to do things that make your brother stumble." Again, how do you build up another person? You do not even need to be taught how to do this, as many things, at least practical things, should race to mind. Just in the practical things alone, there are many ways to build up a person you know. It is not something one person does quickly. Working with people is similar in the fact that you must work at this to get it done to a positive result. This is why we are to pursue the things which make for the building up of one another. Again, building up another person will not happen automatically. It is work well worth the end result. Notice how important building up one another is. Peace and the building up of one another are more important than food. Food is real important. Without food, we will not possess the strength we need to do what we need to do. Gone too long, we will starve to death. Yet, peace and the building up of one another are more important than food. Notice further, physical needs aren't wrong. God wants to supply those needs, but they are subject to His work. This would suggest, at the very least, that if one is not doing the work of God, you may not be blessed by God supplying your needs. This suggests also, at the very least, we would not expect God to supply our needs all the time unless we are doing His work and therefore need such assistance. Further, they should not cause you to do things that make your brother stumble. Quote, "they," end quote, being the ways and means we choose to help our brother or sister, should not cause them to stumble. What causes this is simple to understand and should bear a degree of clarity at this point, even if you had some degree of clarity already. Verse 20 reads, "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food, for although all things are clean, it is wrong to cause anyone to stumble by what you eat." Why is our Bible telling us this again? Let us see if we can find out. Here is a new argument presented why Christians should pursue a course of charity, that the opposite would tend to the ruin of the brother's soul, from Barnes, New Testament Notes. Notice, a new argument is presented with what sounds to the modern mind as a great redundancy when it is not. It is most certainly the duty of Christians to deny themselves the use of their Christian liberty in some things when by making use of it they may endanger any of their brethren by causing them to fall from their own steadfastness. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkitt. Not eating meat is an example of denying oneself the use of their Christian liberty. If eating pork offends a person, we should have no issue in passing the eating of pork for the sake of a friend or guest who does not believe in eating pork, like some of my Jewish friends. I do this not to offend my acquaintances and friends by causing them to fall from their own steadfastness. This is how we damage our witness to such people. Whether we can regain that respect for us is the million-dollar question. There are some who simply will not forgive a person for such an offense. Be here warned, regardless of how unfair you may think it to be, if not eating pork can prevent this issue from happening altogether, is it not simpler for a person not to eat one meal made of pork? How do you answer that question? Verse 21 reads, "It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything that causes your brother to stumble." Is that not the period on this subject? Regardless of the answer to that question, we will look a little further. It is not good, that is, it is not charitable to make use of any part of our Christian liberty when by so doing any weak Christian is offended, discouraged, and driven from his profession and brought to any kind of sin. And if it be a Christian's obliged duty to forbear the use of indifferent things when it is a scandal to the weak, how much more is it a duty to avoid obtruding and imposing such things to the scandal, offense, and hurt of others? From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkitt. The important thing here is, if it be a Christian's obliged duty to forbear the use of indifferent things when it is a scandal to the weak, how much more is it a duty to avoid obtruding and imposing such things to the scandal, offense, and hurt of others? I think that question is fairly easy to answer. This question also tells us just how deep a thing it can be if we offend someone by something as simple as what we eat. Verse 22 reads, "The faith you have, keep to yourself before God. Blessed is the one who does not judge himself by what he approves." These two sentences might, at first read, suggest we are not to witness to others if we keep our faith to ourselves. This regards our faith in such matters such as eating meat. Blessed is the one who does not judge themselves by what they approve, such as eating meat. Further, here the apostle answers an objection. Some might be ready to say that they had faith, that is, a firm and full persuasion that is lawful for them to eat those meats, which others judge to be sinful, and therefore it is necessary that they profess it and own it and assert their liberty. The apostle answers, "Hast thou more knowledge than he to believe those things to be lawful, which he apprehends to be sinful? Keep thy knowledge and belief to thyself to justify thy actions before God, but use it not to the hurt and prejudice of others. For he is a happy man that when he knows a thing to be lawful, does so use his liberty about it as not to offend others or condemn himself. For that is a sad kind of knowledge, which is used to destroy others and condemn ourselves. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. Notice how some may believe that having possession of a form of knowledge, like eating meat, being not sinful, that some want to profess it, own it, and assert their liberty. Yet, the bottom line here is this: keep your knowledge and beliefs to yourself to justify your actions before God, but use it not to the hurt and prejudice of others. For he is a happy man that when he knows a thing to be lawful, does so use his liberty about it as not to offend others or condemn himself. For that is a sad kind of knowledge which is used to destroy others and condemn ourselves. One can possess a purely sinless and lawful knowledge that is not sinful and yet can use it to offend others, destroy others, and condemn themselves. This is another great point we need to comprehend as fully as we can. Why should we make something not sinful, sinful? In the manner we are talking about this subject, this is exactly what we are doing. Verse 23 reads, "But the man who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not do so from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin." I will close with this passage that makes our understanding better and more clear from the New John Gill's exposition of the entire Bible. It reads, "And he that doubts, or makes a difference between meats and meats, or is in suspense whether any difference should be observed or not, is damned, not with everlasting damnation, which is not the consequence of, nor connected with such an action, as eating of a thing indifferent, with a scrupulous conscience, but such an one is condemned in his own conscience. He is self-condemned. His conscience condemns him for what he himself does, and he is self-condemned in judging and censoring others for the same things, so the Syriac renders it, quote, he becomes guilty, end quote, or he contracts guilt to himself, or is self-condemned, and so the Arabic, quote, he is already condemned, end quote, because he eats not of faith or of a full persuasion in his own mind that he is right in eating. He halts between two opinions and is doubtful in his own mind what is best to do. And therefore, whilst this is his case, he ought to refrain, for whatever is not of faith is sin. This is a general rule or axiom, which is not only applicable to the present case, but to any other, whether of a natural, civil, moral, or evangelic kind. Whatsoever does not spring from faith as the Arabic version renders it, cannot be excused of sin. Whatever is not agreeable to the word and doctrine of faith ought not to be done. Whatever is done without faith or not in the exercise of it is culpable, for without faith, nothing can be pleasing to God. Next week, our episode is titled Exhortation to Mutual Acceptance, Part 1. Just what does it mean when we are told, receive one another just as Christ also received you? To find out more, join us next week. Play or download our episodes from one of our podcast hosts, or follow direct links to these platforms on our website under the podcast menu item. Details follow. All Bible quotes without a citation are from the New English Translation Free Version. We greatly appreciate our audience. We look forward to the return of all our faithful listeners, followers, and new listeners. Thank you all so much. We are very pleased to serve a diverse international audience. Please share our podcast with family, friends, and others you believe would find it a blessing. This study podcast is a wholly self-funded outreach presented by the Church of the Unchurched, an all-electronic, Boston-based outreach uniting the community of lost, searching, lonely, and forgotten in Christ. If you are visiting for the first time, welcome and God bless you. If you are unsaved, we truly hope you find God as well as receiving Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Please find a short link to our episode titled How to Be Saved at the bottom of any episode description. To learn more about us and who we are, give our episode titled Introduction, About Us, Who We Are, a listen. In that episode, you will learn more about us, who we are reaching out to, our mission, vision, ministry, and more. Again, a short link to this episode is found at the bottom of any episode description. Find our website at https://thechurchoftheunchurched.org. Please type The Church of the Unchurched as a single word with no hyphens or spaces in unchurched. Also, because we are on a very secure European server, be sure you type the lead https://, as it is required. Be sure you include it in any bookmark you make. This will prevent security load errors. Our site is mobile, tablet, and desktop compliant. Our site also has links to many of our podcast platforms under the podcast menu item. We are found on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify, to name a few. We refresh all our feeds with every weekly episode upload on Sundays, East Coast Time, USA. These sites update our feed within 24 hours of our refresh. Our RSS feed is syndicated on many popular podcast RSS feed platforms. Find us on a preferred platform to follow us as we continue to grow. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Until next week, This is Pastor John for the Church of the Unchurched.